We are so excited. You know, of course, we have the two ordinations coming up. We've got soon-to-be father, Gayton Armstrong, and Edward Charnock, who will be Deacon Edward Charnock. I only know Edward in passing a couple times. Just seems like everybody that knows him from St. Dominic's Parish, what a fine, upstanding young man.
Yeah, he's a really good kid.
The soon-to-be father, Armstrong, is a former student of mine. He is the fourth of five children, and he is the only boy in his family. He was the quarterback for the Montgomery Catholic football team. I remember him back in the day when he was serving Mass at Queen of Mercy when we first got here with Father James Dean, and then eventually came over to Holy Spirit Parish. He has been just a wonderful young man to see this growth and this trajectory in his life and to see where he is going to be winding up this Saturday morning at the cathedral. Really is an experience of what I say to people when I think about a vocation. Deacon Gayton was always open. Mm-hmm. If it didn't always look that way, in his heart he was always open, and eventually that openness led to him being able to hear the Lord's call in his life.
Okay, so he's the only boy out of the kids. So what was the reaction of his family when he told them that he wanted to discern priesthood?
Well, joy. Mom Joni is a very devout and faithful Catholic. In fact, she will get mad at me for saying this publicly like this, but it's something that I think a lot of people that know her would verify. She is one of the most devout and authentically holy people that I know. Just her faith in a very authentic way, and I think that has led over into her children. And all of her kids, deeply about the faith. Agnes, her daughter, who just got married a couple weeks ago, teaches with me at Montgomery Catholic, has been very much involved in campus ministry at Montgomery Catholic. I think that where the first stage of the vocation in Joseph Gayton, that's actually his legal name, Joseph Gayton Armstrong, was first laid. But then eventually, I think, you know, his time being involved in parish life, involved serving Mass, he's always been someone who was willing to step up and serve Mass, even when he was on the football team and playing quarterback. If I needed him to serve Mass, I'd say, hey, Gayton, I need you to serve Mass today. Can you do it? Absolutely, Mr. Real, I got it. Take care of it. He always was open to that reality. And I remember talking to him one time in the chapel at the school. This is about probably at his graduation, maybe a week or so before all the festivities. And we were talking in the chapel, and he said to me, you know, Mr. Riello, if God calls me to the priesthood, I'd be okay with it. Hmm. And it just came across to me as authentic and real. He meant it. And I remember turning to him, and you know, Gayton, that's all you're asked to do. A lot of times people paralyze themselves with, I'm not worthy. I can't do it. Let's get that out of the way. You'll never be worthy. The holiest priest in our diocese right now, whoever that might be, objectively speaking, is not worthy to be priest. You know, in the truest sense, strict sense of the word, Jesus Christ, the only one's worthy. We say that at every place, Lord, I am not worthy. And a lot of times people overwhelm themselves with that, or they overwhelm themselves with the fact of what they're giving up. As the great Father Victor Ingalls loves to say, you know, yeah, that may be true on the front end. Yeah, you are being asked to give things up, but look at what you get. Listen, I'm not trying to be funny right now. Todd, you'll totally understand this. On some level, you know, look at all I had to do today for the next 3 days to go to daily Mass. I'm going to leave my house an hour early, drive 40. So what? If I was Father Tom, I just set up a mess kit in my house and I got Mass.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Father pointed that out. He goes, you know, I go on vacation. Let's say I go to Elvis. I go, not that Father Victor's visit in Elvis. Not that there would be anything wrong with that. But let's say I'm in Memphis and I got the hotel. I'm at the Ramada. I pull out my mask, kid. I don't have to check out discovermass.com, which is outdated by 9 years. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to call Todd Sylvester. And you were on vacation. What did you do? You know, all kidding aside, you get a lot when you're a priest. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the privilege of being there. As Sir Alex says, you know, I get to be there when you're welcomed into the world by baptizing you. I get to be there when these milestones in your life are placed. Marriage, I get to be there when your eyes are about to close, pass into eternity. And a priest is, and that all happened in a 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is one of the most powerful images of being a priest. But the key thing is, so many people focus only on what they're giving up. Well, to the exclusion of, it's, look at what you can get in the end.
And it's not only that, they also, we all do this. We all have a tendency to look at it through, you know, rose-colored shades. We're like, oh, I'm giving up, you know, the glories of and the beauties of marriage. We have a priest friend of ours who's a Jesuit who one time came to visit, and all of our kids, they were just being kids. I mean, you know, running through the house, doing fighting, spilling stuff, doing whatever. And he's there, and he's taking it all in. Okay, he's taking it all in. So when he left, he said, Todd, I just want to thank you for reaffirming my vocation. Because, you know, sometimes you think, well, I gave up marriage and it would have been, you know, my wife bringing me my slippers and the kids bringing me the mm-hmm. newspaper and having coffee and scones. And I was like, yeah, that's not my life. Like that's just not how it works. Like I was telling Ellen in the middle of Sunday brunch, you know, the biscuits were baking and then all of a sudden we notice they're not baking anymore. Like the oven's on, but nothing's happening and the oven broke, you know? So I go to the computer and I order the part that I need, you know, and it's coming in tomorrow. I mean, your life is just, it's different. I wouldn't have it any differently because this is what God has called me to, but let's not make it look like, oh, you're giving up, you know, everything that's good, true, and beautiful. It's like, that's not how it works. Right, Tom?
100%. You know, I'm replacing Father Driscoll for today. Mm-hmm. It never could replace Father Driscoll, but for today, we are replacing him. What does he love to say? The incarnation reminds us that God is not afraid to get messy. Mm. He used to preach that. I can remember him preaching that all the time, right? God gets involved in the granularities, in the particulars. He always loves saying that. He loves saying that. It's not some abstract conception of the incarnation, but it's to the place where we are broken. He comes to the place where we are broken, which is exactly what St. Gregory of Nyssa and St. Gregory of Nazianzus and St. Basil, the Cappadocian fathers, all said. The unassumed is unhealed, and that includes the brokenness. It includes the oven breaking down. It includes the biscuits not being cooked. It includes the three grandchildren getting up at 1, 4, and 5 a.m. and I had a bad dream. It includes all of that. It includes the power going out. It includes every moment of our brokenness and even those moments of celebration, every aspect. And so there's no ideal. There's no ideal. And I think a lot of times, you know, this Kantian ideal, and as the great Carucci loves to say, the perfect then becomes the enemy of the good. And I think the devil, you're right, Todd, I think the devil does that and plays with the heads of guys thinking about the possibility of trying to create this ideal that they could never live up to or that they're giving up. And I see it. I've seen people in my life, you know, go kick the tires on a seminary life. Go on a weekend. No, that's not me. I'm not called to that. Well, how do you know? Listen, there's plenty of guys in Louisiana right now who thought for sure they were not called to the priesthood. Well, guess what? You know, they've been priests, some guys 5 years, some guys 10 years, some guys 20 years, some guys 50 years. Oh, by the way, what's really touching is the 61-year veteran ordained to the priesthood, Monsignor Troncalli. He went down. Last couple of years, he stayed home. You know, he was 85 and 86, respectively. Now he's 87. But he wanted to go down. And the reason why he wanted to go down is because Deacon Gayton was a middle schooler about to enter first year of high school when Monsignor Troncalli was in his last year as the pastor of Holy Spirit.
Wow.
So he wanted to go down and be there with him on his retreat, because he gets to spend the retreat this week with the priest. Nice. Deacon Gayton does.
Nice.
So nice little beautiful touch. The 61-year veteran going to be there because his boy, his young man that he knew when he was 14, when he was 13, when he was 12, when he was 11, is about to become a priest of Jesus Christ, just as he is.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. You know, I've heard people often say, and I think you kind of know this when you have your vocation right, there's a peace and joy in your decision. And Todd, you probably know that from, you know, happily married, even though you got up every hour with grandkids.
Still all right.
And it's the same thing, and I've heard priest friends say that, you know. I knew somebody that was kind of, you know, on the fence about it, and he was just really praying, and he just got this prayerful message, if not now, when? And just a reminder that God is gently going to invite us, and we're going to find peace in what our answer is. So that should give you some comfort for anyone who's discerning or dealing with family members that are discerning.
And just a shout out to my brother. Yesterday was his 13th anniversary of ordination, 2013.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was ordained on May 25th. This is ordination season, right? This is when it happens. So it's great. And I love how it's Philip Neri Day, because the great Father LaPointe, another former student of mine, that's his patron saint. That's a saint that he loves. And it said that Peter and Paul converted Rome with their words, and Philip converted Rome with his smile. Mm. And I think that is... you know, just seeing the priesthood, you know, just seeing, you know, a priest that is able to witness the transparency of a life lived in faith with joy, it radiates and it's attractive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, St. Philip Neri, I love the story that he would get up in the middle of the night and pray, but he would go to the catacombs. He would walk across, in the middle of the night.
That's not for me.
At Rome, you know, and then this is like 1500, so he's got a lantern. And he would pray for everyone, that all of the people sleeping around him.
Oh.
First of all, that's awesome. Okay,
yeah.
So then he'd get, the one time he was down in the catacombs, and he was just praying, and the Holy Spirit appeared to him as a ball of fire. And then came and went into his mouth and down into his heart, and St. Philip Neri collapsed. So they were like, what's going on? And he goes, you know, I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with joy. Well, when he died, he was 80 years old, they did an autopsy, and they discovered that two ribs had broken around his heart and created this arch, because his heart was three times the size of a regular human heart from that point on. Tom, come on.
That's powerful.
I can't top that story.
The enlarging of the heart, right? The greater capacity of love.
Oh, Tom Riello, thanks for getting up with us this morning. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Absolutely, everybody. Have a great day.
Have a great Mass with the sisters at Marbury.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Beautiful.